Well, good morning. I am very excited to get to be here with you all this morning. I'm not allowed to have favorites in churches, but I really love East Columbus. You guys have a special place at Hilltop Christian Camp because this summer is our 78th summer. And of all the churches that stand behind and support us, East Columbus has been there for the entire 78 years. In fact, it is East Columbus that is the reason why there is a Hilltop Christian Camp. East Columbus, if you're not aware, started Hilltop Christian Camp all the way back in 1946. And so the relationship, the partnership that we have with East Columbus is so special and dear. And I greatly appreciate everything that this church, that all of you do to stand by Hilltop, to be there for us and be part of this ministry. I'm excited for what God is going to do this summer, and especially knowing what God has been doing over the last several years. God has truly been moving at Hilltop, and we have seen amazing things happen. We have seen amazing growth as more and more kids are coming to camp, more and more kids are having the opportunity to come and hear the message of Christ. This past summer, we hosted 608 campers. We're up 24% over where we were before COVID. We are seeing every year a steady increase as more and more kids are coming to camp. But the most amazing thing, the best thing is of those 608 campers, 47 of them made the decision to give their life to Christ. And that is worth celebrating. We are seeing more and more kids that are coming every summer that have no background in the church. And so many of those kids that come in on that first night as they're talking with their small group leaders, they're telling them they've never heard a single word out of the Bible. They have no background or knowledge or anything of Scripture. And so camp is providing that place where we get the opportunity to, for the first time for so many kids, share Christ with them. And that is our mission and our purpose. Our goal is every week of camp, every time that we have a camp session, we spend the entire week surrounding those kids and pouring into their lives and telling them about Christ. Everything that we do is about pointing them to Christ. We tell people at Hilltop we're a place where Christ and a great time go together. And that great time is important. We want kids to come and have fun. We want them to enjoy being out there. We want them to have the time of their lives. But at the center of it all is sharing with them about Christ. Because there is no better decision that you can make in your life than to give your life to Christ. And we want those kids to understand that and to feel that love. God is truly doing amazing things at Hilltop. Some few things to update you guys with. This past summer, we were given an opportunity to purchase an additional 28 acres of land. Our board met and we determined that we wanted to take advantage of that. And so in August, we signed and we purchased 28 acres of extra land. But we got the seller to agree to seller finance it at 0% interest for the first year because we don't want to add debt. Our goal has been to eliminate debt. And so I'm excited to say that here we are getting close to that one-year mark. We have already raised $104,000 toward that. Another $12,000, and that property is paid for. And so, God, it has blown my mind to see how people have responded to that. So we're almost there, and we're trying to hit that mark before we get to that one-year mark. So our goal is this summer, by the time we start camp, we want to have that paid for. Also, as you've seen, I know that there's a slide that's been up here every Sunday talking about chairs. We have been encouraging people to give a chair for a camper. And we're trying to upgrade and replace the old metal chairs. Many of them are starting to get rusty. The paint and stuff is peeling off of them. So we're trying to replace all of the chairs in our chapel and in our dining hall. Well, before Christmas, we were able to raise enough money that we were able to replace all the chairs in the chapel. So now we just need 165 more chairs, and we'll be able to replace them all in the dining hall where the kids eat their meals. And so if you'd like to contribute to either one of those things, we would greatly appreciate that. It's $25. You're basically giving a camper a chair for that. And that gets them some really good, these are amazing high-quality plastic chairs that we know are going to last for years, as well as being easier to clean and maintain. The other couple of things going on at Hilltop, we've had a couple of emergencies come up this year that have kind of hit us by surprise. One was we've had a drainage problem that's been ongoing in front of the Stuckey's building. If you've ever been out to camp when it's raining, you know that water typically comes into that building. And so this past winter when we had the really hard freeze, that drain, what we did have in drainage, backed up, froze, and buckled the concrete underneath our freezer, our big giant walk-in freezer, as well as did some other damage. So we had to rip every bit of that out this past month and replace all that. It was a huge expense for camp. The good news is we had enough in savings that we didn't add debt to do it, but we are looking to raise those funds to put back into savings because we wanted to use those funds for other things at camp. But I'm excited, again, God is doing some great things. This summer, we're ready for our theme this summer is light, and we're going to talk about that. I'm actually going to share about that in my sermon this morning. But as we've continued to add and grow camp, this summer, if you know, last summer we added a new session of camp. We added a paintball week of camp. Well, this summer, on top of that paintball week, we've added a theater camp that we're offering this year. And we are working as we continue to grow those things. And I'm excited because if you know Claire, who runs the drama for Columbus Christian School, she is leading that week of camp for us this summer. And I know that it is going to be awesome. Those kids are going to have a great time as they not only learn about theater and grow in that, but they're going to be pointed to Christ through every moment of that. And they're going to be taught about who Christ is and what that light can be in his lives. If you're interested in getting involved, there are lots of ways that you can help out at camp. If you come out to our table, we have got a needs list that you can help and contribute toward. As well, we have a couple events coming up that you can be a part of. On May 4th, we have our big work day. It is our big final, big push day to get everything done before camp starts. And so we need as many people as we can get out there that day to do stuff. There are projects from cleaning to planting flowers to cleaning up areas to doing painting. There is tons of stuff that can be done to be a part of. And then the next big special day is on May 18th, we have what is our family day. And this is an opportunity for everybody to come out and see camp. And if you haven't been out in a few years, I would encourage you, you need to come out and see what God has done at Hilltop, how much things have changed, how much things have improved, and what everything looks like now. And so May 18th is that day that you can come out. We'll have the zip line open, the giant swing open, and the pool open so you can experience that. And I'll tell you, I don't care how old you are, if you want to do the zip line, you can do it. We actually, last year, we had our oldest person do the zip line. He was 87 years old and got up and did that. And he wasn't even hesitant. It was awesome because I opened the gates and I said, okay, you ready to go? And he was gone. I mean, it was nothing. He loved it. So we want you guys to experience that. So May 18th is a great opportunity for that. As well, if you want to get involved over the summer, we are always looking for and still looking for people to volunteer to help out with our weeks of camp. We're looking for groups that will come on Sunday afternoon or on Friday afternoon and grill for us. On Sunday evening, our first meal with the campers is we do a cookout hot dogs and we do a picnic out in there. So we need people to come run that grill and help us to get that meal prepared while our staff is doing registration. And then on Friday, the last meal they eat a late lunch and it is a hamburger cookout. And we have groups and we like to have groups that will come in and run the grill for that. It's a great time. You'll get to experience what it's like to see all these campers enjoying being at camp and as well as helping us and helping out our staff. And then I am still looking to hire 2 additional summer staff. So if you know any young adults that you think would be a good fit for us this summer and are looking for a paying job, because we do pay our staff, I need 2 more young adults that will come out and help us out this summer. Again, I can't stress enough how much I appreciate everything that you guys do to stand by Hilltop. Your prayerful support, your financial support is amazing, and it is doing awesome things at Hilltop. So thank you for that. Well, this morning, I do want to share with you our theme and share about our theme for summer. And our theme this summer is light, in case you didn't figure that out by the shirts and the songs. I mean, it's awesome. I appreciate what Spencer does to bring all that together. And I love that when we do come here, it is a camp Sunday, and that you guys do so much to show your love for Hilltop. Well, this summer, the theme is light, and it's a very specifically focused on the gospel message is a big key part of what we're going to be focusing on this summer. And talking about how Jesus is the light. And there's several verses that we're focusing on this summer. And I want to look at those this morning and talk with you about what it means for Jesus to be the light for us. And how that should affect us and what that should look like because of that. And so I want to start this morning first looking at the beginning of John chapter 1, at the very beginning, starting in verse 1. And this is John's words about Christ. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love how John introduces Christ in his gospel. John is the only gospel that starts with talking about the fact that Jesus has and is God. That Jesus has always been God. From the very beginning of creation, Jesus was there. And John wants to make it very clear to understand that we recognize that Jesus is God. And his whole idea of the birth narrative, where other gospel writers are talking about how Jesus was born, John starts and says, let me first tell you about who Jesus is, and so you understand who he is. And then he goes on in verse 9, and he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So John immediately gives us, right at the very beginning of his gospel, the entire gospel message about why Christ is here. That Jesus came for the purpose to bring us the opportunity for salvation. And that even though so many reject him, that those who do choose to follow him, we are given the right to receive salvation, to be children of God. John could have wrapped up his entire letter right there, because he gave everything that we needed to know about who Christ was. But John wanted to make sure that we understood that Jesus is the light and that he gives light to everyone. See, before John even goes into anything to talk about all the amazing things and the miracles that Jesus did, he wants us to understand what it looks like for us, to understand that we need Christ and that he is the light of the world. And he especially wanted us to see that his light shines in the darkness. And that's the first thing we need to see. And I hope you understand what John says when he says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. What that means for us in our lives. So often when we think about light and darkness, we think about them as these two things that are competing against each other. In fact, movies, that's a big story. I grew up with Star Wars. I love Star Wars. And I can't think of a better example of light and darkness than what Star Wars does to portray it. You have the light side and the dark side, and they're in conflict with each other. And you wonder as the movies are unfold, is the light going to win or is darkness going to win out this time? Is darkness going to be more powerful than the light side? A lot of movies, they portray light and dark as good and evil, and darkness is always portrayed as evil. In most every movie, we see the good side always wins. That's what makes a good movie. But then there's all these movies that, if you notice, at the very end, even though there's been some evil that had to be beaten, at the very end, after everything's good, you know the story, everybody feels good about it, there'll be a little clip right at the end that gives you a hint that a little bit of that evil or darkness or villain has survived. Some small piece of it over here, because they're going to leave us. Of course, they're doing it so that they have the opportunity to give us another movie based on that same thing. But the thought that it gives is, even though it has been overcome, it's still there. And you always have to worry, when's it going to come back? I got to always be worried that darkness that's here is still going to build and come back. But the reality of how light works is, when you look at the definition of darkness, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. Darkness does not exist with light. In fact, darkness is only where light is not. And that's why John tells us Jesus is the light and the darkness cannot overcome it. See, wherever there is light, darkness is pushed away. There are so many things in our lives that come at us that bring darkness to us. Pain, suffering, sickness, the loss of loved ones, financial hardships, problems at work, the way that people treat us, being bullied or being told that we're nothing. All these things can put us in a place where we feel like we're in the dark and there's no hope, there's no future for us. All we can see is darkness around us. But with Christ, He brings light into that darkness. And I want to make sure you understand that there is absolutely nothing that can overcome Christ. The light that He gives cannot be pushed out. Jesus is greater than anything that we face in our lives. And that's what that light looks like for us. And there is nothing that can push back Jesus' light. Well, the next verse I want to look at and that we're going to talk about this summer comes from John chapter 8. And this is Jesus speaking, and it's chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" This is Jesus Himself telling us that He is the light of the world, and that with His light, we'll never be in darkness. In fact, He says that He is the light of life. John tells us that Jesus is the light in the very beginning of His gospel, and now Jesus is pointing out to us that He is in fact the light, but He is the light of life. Sin is darkness and death. And we know that what sin represents is death. Sin in our lives causes us to have death. The punishment for sin, that's the only thing, is death. But what Jesus brings is counter to that and beats that out. And Jesus says, "I bring life to you. I bring life into you." Of where we feel darkness and hopelessness and that there is no hope or future for us because of sin in our lives, because of the things in our lives, Jesus says, "I am the light of life. And with Me, you will no longer be in darkness." When we give our lives to Christ and we're baptized, we receive His light. Jesus comes into our lives. He washes out all the old, cuts it away from us, and we become Christ inside of us. We receive His life. He washes us clean of all the sin, all the things in our lives. And Jesus' light cannot be overcome by darkness. So if His light exists in us, there should be no darkness within us. There is no longer a place for sin to exist with His light inside of us. See, the problem is in order for light to exist, we have to allow His light to exist within us. And we can choose what parts of our lives we allow Jesus' light to shine into. And so when we live and allow sin to still exist within us, it's basically like we're telling Jesus, I want you to stand over there, Jesus. I don't want you over here in this part. I want to keep this dark over here because I like this spot. Jesus, you stay over there. Your light is great. Your light's awesome, God. I love your light over here. Just don't go look over here. I love light. Light is something that's really cool to me. If you go to my home, you will see that I have different lights all over the place. I like light. I'm excited about this summer because we're doing all kinds of things all over camp to add different lighting elements and light. And one of the things I like about light is if you take something and you shine light on it, it makes it look better. Think about a painting. Thomas Kincaid is one of my favorite painters. I love the work that he did. He was known as the painter of light because he was able to bring light out of his paintings. And when you see one of his paintings, they're amazing and they're beautiful. But when you shine a light on them, when you light them up, that painting becomes so much more alive and vibrant. Light adds to things and makes things look so much better. light shines in all these places and brings things out. The downside is the more light you have in your house, the more you can see into the dark little corners, you know, the places where dust and dirt and stuff collects, the spots we don't want people to see if they come see our house. We want them to see the nice clean part, not the dark shady areas. If Jesus is life, he is the light of life, then sin should not have a place in our lives anymore, and we should allow our lives to be dominated by his light. We should allow it to make us more bright and vibrant. We should allow it to shine in those dark corners and let us see the dirt and the dust that we've allowed to exist in our lives and allow him to clean us of that. Darkness only exists in the absence of light. Have you ever experienced true darkness? Do you know what that looks like? I'm not talking about going outside on a dark night, because there's still a little bit of light. You can go out on the darkest night, and even though it may be hard to see, if you wait a few minutes, your eyes are going to adjust. Your pupils are going to dilate. We're going to draw more light in, and you can see. Not as good as you could see in the light, but we can still see. It's hard to find a place of total absence of light. When I was younger, I took groups caving, and I loved going into caves, and I would take groups, and I would guide them through some caves in North Alabama, and one of the things that I always did with them is we would get down into the cave, and when we would stop to take our first break, I'd say, okay, everybody turn off all your flashlights, and so everybody would turn their lights off, and when you are in that place of absolute darkness, I can hold my hand right off the tip of my nose, and I can't see it. And it doesn't matter if you sit there for 5 minutes or 45 minutes, your eyes can never adjust because there is absolutely no light. It is complete and total darkness. And I can tell you that lasts about 2 minutes of me not saying anything and somebody's going to click their light on. Because we get really uncomfortable in that darkness. Everything starts to close in. We feel like we can't tell what's going on. In a cave, you hear all kinds of weird sounds, water dripping off in the distance, all these things. And when you turn the lights off, all that becomes amplified, and it becomes a place we don't want to be. We don't want to be in darkness. But all it takes is one person to flick a small light on, and that's enough that our eyes can then adjust and we can be able to see. So many people exist right now in this place of complete darkness where all they can see, they can't see that there is anything else around them, any other opportunity. They are in a place of hopelessness, a place of complete despair because they can't see any light. Darkness is the absence of light, and so without Christ, they're in darkness. And we will do anything we can to try to get out of that darkness, but there is only one way out. Darkness can overtake us, and it overtakes the world right now. There are so many people out there that feel like they are alone, that they have no hope. They live their lives the best they can, trying to be happy, joyful, but when something comes along, some hardship, because they're in this darkness, they can't see any way beyond it. They can't see any hope or light. That's why depression is so high in our country. That's why depression is such a big thing that is affecting so many young people. Because they don't understand what hope is. Thinking about that, I decided I would look up some numbers because I was curious. I know that, especially with young people, that depression is becoming a more and more big thing. And unfortunately, so many people are choosing in that depression and not having hope that they choose suicide. But I didn't realize how bad it was until I looked up the numbers. Last year, in the United States alone, over 50,000 people committed suicide. 50,000 people were so deep in depression that that was the only answer they could see. They had no hope, no light. They didn't know what else to do. People need Jesus' life, his light. The need for Christ is more than just the promise of eternal life in heaven. It's about the hope that we have because of Christ. It's about the hope that we feel, that we can, in our deepest and darkest times, we can still, because of Christ, find joy and hope and know that there is nothing that is greater than Christ. But people need to know about Christ. And we want to make sure that people know who Christ is. So the third and final verse that we're going to focus on this summer comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. And this is Jesus speaking again. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. If Christ exists in you, if you have accepted Christ and received salvation, then his life and his light are in you. And Jesus tells us then that we then are the light to the rest of the world, that we need to let others see that light that we have. Our campers need to know, and we're going to know this summer, that it is critically important that we, that they go out and share Christ with those around them. That they go back home to their schools, their communities, to their families, and that they become that light for those around them to see. The world is dying in darkness, and they need the light that comes from Christ that we have within us. But the only way that they're going to find out about it is if we let our light shine. Jesus tells us to let your light shine so that others can see your good deeds. But he doesn't stop with that, because it's not about making us look good. It's not about people seeing me and going, "Man, he's doing an awesome job. Look at him." I don't shine my light to others so they can look and see Ryan. Now, I'll admit, I like to be the center of attention. Being up on a stage and talking like this is very comfortable for me, because I like to be the center of attention. I have friends that have told me for years that they call me a Devo, which is apparently the male version of a diva, I guess. But it is not about Ryan. It is not about me. Jesus tells us that we shine our light so that others can see our good deeds. For what purpose? So that it glorifies our Father in heaven. I want my life to be a light that shines and points people to God, so that they see him and they see the hope and the joy that comes from him. We need to be a light that shines so others can see that. Jesus is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot overcome him. There is nothing better than to feel Christ's life inside of us, the light that he brings into our lives. If we allow Christ's light to shine in us and to really come out and to show him to others, then people will see what a life lived in Christ can look like. They will see the hope and joy that comes because of Christ in our lives. They'll see what it can look like to live in light and not in darkness. To live in a place where we don't fear that the darkness will overtake us, because we know that the one that brings light cannot be beaten back by the darkness. We need to let our light shine. We need to let others see Christ. this summer, our hope and prayer is that every single camper will learn that Jesus is the light and that the darkness cannot overcome him. That they will understand the importance that they need to have Christ in their life, and that with Christ's light in our lives, there is nothing that can knock us down. Because even death can't take us away from Christ. And then I want those campers to understand that because of his light inside of us, that we then need to go and shine that light to the world. We need to be the ones that are showing the rest of the world who Christ is, sharing him with those around us. It is so important right now that we do everything that we can to shine his light in the world around us. But to do that, it starts with making the first decision. It starts with making the first step that you have to take in your life. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Christ, that is the first thing that you have to do. If you've never given your life to Christ, then you have to make that decision today. Because that light that I'm talking about, you haven't experienced it until you receive salvation in Christ. And so this morning, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. And then if you're here and you do know Christ, you have given your life to Christ, then I would encourage you then the next thing that you need to do is you need to start allowing that light to shine out. You need to allow others to see Christ in you. And maybe this morning you've been a Christian a long time, but you've never really made an effort to let others see your light, to see the light that Christ has placed within you. And so this morning I would challenge you and encourage you, find a way to shine your light to somebody this week. Let somebody see Christ in you this week. And the final thing I would encourage you, if you're here this morning and you find yourself in a place where you feel like there is no hope, grab somebody and tell them that you need them to pray with you. The awesome thing about being part of a church family is that we stand with each other. We are not alone. And so this morning, maybe you need someone to pray with you. Grab someone. Come up and grab Kendall. Come up and grab one of the leaders of the church. Say, hey, I need somebody to pray with me to help me through what I'm going through. This summer, we're going to be pointing these campers to the light. And I hope that you will take time and make the effort to let Christ's light shine in you, and that you will shine that light to the rest of the world. Will you pray with me?